Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Great weekend for the Rays. Great sweep that they had over the New York Mets. We'll get into all
sweep?
Yeah. First one.
Rays aren't supposed to do that.
Well, they did it, man, and it was impressive, and it brought new life to Randy Arozarena. Had a walk-off on Sunday. I mean, this was, and I was there.
Well, I wasn't. Actually, you know, he didn't have the walk-off Sunday. He had the game.
No. It was DeLuca that had the walk-off. Right. I said the Rays had a walk-off Sunday.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
In extras. So we'll get into all of that. But let's get to the main.
All they
thing.
Needed was new threads.
That was it. And they should never take those uniforms off until they lose, at minimum, if ever. Even if they lose, I might continue to wear them. I would wear them until I lost a series, which might be the rest of the year, the way they're playing. They're not necessarily my cup of tea, but I get why that they're going for the kids, the sort of younger audience, if you will. But I'm telling you, they played well. They look like a different team at home, and the hats are fire. So Randy came to life. There's lots to talk about with the Rays. I want to get to this Tom Brady thing. I have Netflix. I turn it on maybe – I probably missed maybe an hour, maybe not. I don't know if it was a two-hour roast, maybe 30 minutes. So some of the comedians, that were on the dais there I missed. But let me tell you, this thing – first of all, I had to run my little girl came in. I said, no, you can't listen to this, any of it. Please leave. So the sound went down. And there are many jokes that we could never repeat, and nor would I attempt to. But, man, hats off to Bill Belichick for coming on this thing and taking some heat and dishing out some as well. And he was funny. I've said this about Bill, and I've seen him in other interviews and things like that. He's going to be on the Manning cast. I think he's going to be amazing. But his sense of humor came through. And of course I'm sure they write jokes for him and things like that. I'm not thinking that, he does this for a living. He's not going to go on tour at the LA Comedy Club or anything, but really good. Talking about Gronk and Brady and different guys, Edelman, but just funny, right? And self-deprecating as well. And then the heat going back at Belichick, which he laughed at, was even better. I mean, Julian Edelman, who does a great Belichick anyway, was just on fire towards Bill. And, of course, with his situation, not being able to get a job, he was throwing all kinds of shades at him. And he was just used to say, run the play over the guys that, freaking Foxborough High School could run that play. And he goes, yeah, Foxborough High School, that's like your only job offer. And he was just going on about how Bill couldn't get a job and talking about do your job. That's all we ever heard. Do your job. How about you find a job, Bill? but it was, the whole thing, a lot about, the relationship between Brady. And there was Bob Kraft, who also at one point, comes up and takes a shot with Belichick and Brady. So a lot of dynamics going on, a lot of Alex Guerrero jokes, not flattering either, but Alex laughed his head off. And it was just, terrific. And again, very R plus rated, nothing for the kids to watch. That's for sure. But interesting. And just a lot of dynamics going on. Peyton Manning was somebody that showed up. Towards the end, right before Brady went on, they had Ben Affleck. It was really good. It was entertaining. And some mention of Tampa. Now, interestingly, and I don't, if you guys saw the first half hour or so, you could fill me in, but I haven't seen this. But I saw three, maybe four Buccaneers. One I didn't recognize for whatever reason. But Lavonte David was there, Donovan Smith, and Ryan Jensen. because as you pointed out, you never go anywhere without your center, right? So
and your left tackle.
And your left tackle, as it turns out.
As Baker Mayfield has shown us, too.
He's picked up his MO. But yeah, those guys were at least up above, you know, they're sort of on the risers there, along with a lot of Patriot players, Randy Moss. And I mean, there's just so many, Willie McGinnis, and, you know, just so many, probably six or seven Edelman and Mendola. You know, a lot of guys you would expect. It was great, man. Even Bob Kraft got a zinger off at the very end. He said to Vladimir Putin, "Give me my blanket ring back." You know, remember Putin pocketed his Super Bowl ring years ago. So, yeah, it was good, man. And I don't know what Brady's going to do. Like, I assume he's going to do the broadcasting thing. I don't know. You know, apparently this roast benefited a lot of people's charities, of those that who roasted him, et cetera. But it was an interesting night, man. Even Drew Bledsoe with a zinger. You know, Drew was there. And,
Drew, that may have been the best zinger of the night.
It might have been. Like, Drew gets up there. He says, "You know, Tom, you did accomplish a lot, and, you know, seven Super Bowls. But I experienced some things you didn't. For example, I was the first overall pick in the draft. And just the other day, I celebrated my 28th wedding anniversary," which of course, it's like, "Hey-o." And then it went the other way, too. You know, and Brady made his comment towards Bledsoe where he goes, "We all know where we were in 2011 when those two Jets slammed into Drew Bledsoe." It's like, I thought he was going to go to 911, and he went there instead. But he goes, "But you know," and he was talking about Belichick, and he was something, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said basically, like, "Yeah, you know, really tough decision. Do you play the broken down, injured starter who's past his prime kind of thing, or the upstart, young, you know, underdrafted, you know, Tom Brady? Like, really tough decision there, Coach Belichick, you know, and you get credit for all that." So it was good. I'm sure they'll play it many, many times. They did it live, which is something they don't normally do very often in these comedy roasts. But yeah, interesting. I tell you what, Tom Brady, we're not going to ever, I think, stop seeing Tom Brady, right? He's going to make sure that he's in our consciousness, on our TV screens. And of course, as we believe, he's going to work for Fox this fall.
If he's not on the sidelines.
Yeah, if he's not playing for the Raiders. I mean, that's pretty much it. But, you know, he was really funny, too. You know, he was great. Took a shot at the Kansas City Chiefs, which was fun. Just talking about, you know, their Eras tour and how their Eras was, you know, 50 years without a Super Bowl, and then 3 out of 5 years they win, and then, you know, "Shake it off, guys." And then he's like, "You know, you say your crowd is the loudest in Kansas City. Well, yeah, they're all a bunch of 14-year-old girls." So, but yeah, good stuff.
He took it pretty well, too.
He took a lot of it. He really did. I mean, it was, like I said, not PG. It was R-rated. And nothing was spared. Absolutely nothing. You know, right down to his looks, which, you know, lots of accusations of plastic surgery and other things that were flying around. Gronk was, as you would expect Gronk, although rude and crude, had a little trouble reading the teleprompter, which was not much of a surprise there.
Bill Belichick told him, he said, "I've seen you on Fox NFL Sunday."
That's right.
"Don't do that job.
Don't do that job. I told you guys all the time, do your job. And I saw you on Fox, dude. Don't do that job." Just really, really funny. But yeah, I mean, you know, I still say this, and it will, the further we get away from it, maybe it will seem different, but like the 3 years that Tom Brady was a Buccaneer is, first of all, an absolute blur, right? I mean, you have to put it in the context of what we're going through as a country, right? The pandemic, the shutdowns, COVID literally prevented us, when I say us, I mean the people that cover the team, from ever being in a room with Tom Brady for the entire season. We did every press conference on Zoom. When we went to practice, I still can't believe this, even in training camp, it was, you know, 98 degrees out there. You're dying. You're walking on the sun. And we had to stand 6 feet apart with a mask on outdoors. Okay. And we were given these beepers, these distance beepers, that if we got within 6 feet of somebody else that had one, they immediately would start alerting and going beep, 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 and would record who it was that you were the closest to that you came into contact with in case that person or you had COVID. I mean, when you look back at it, you just go, what were we doing, right?
Well, you had to be tested every day too.
Every single day. Seven. At first it was, you know, I think since we weren't around the team every day, it started out, it was about, you know, 5 days. And they said, well, if you get tested on Friday, you're good for Sunday's game, right? And then it became 7 days a week, including at the stadium, walking in. And to think that all of that happened, right, that season, that crazy, crazy season with no training camp, really, a couple weeks, and then no preseason games, and go to New Orleans, and they lose, and Arian says some stuff about Brady, and everybody loses their minds, and, you know, they start out okay, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're 7-5, and it looks like they're not going to make the playoffs, and then that incredible run, and you know, Antonio Brown shows up, and just everything that happened, even including, you know, the postseason, which was a unbelievable, you know, string of opponents, and you know, beating Drew Brees in his last game, and then going to Green Bay and beating Aaron Rodgers there, and then playing your Super Bowl at home with 25,000 or so. I mean, all that seems, you know, when I look back at it, is just Did that happen? Like, we, you know, books will be written about this, but like, and have been, it's just having gone through it and the amount of work it was and the attention and how Tampa Bay was the center of the football world, if not the sports world, for Brady to have pulled this off and the constant debate, Belichick, is it Brady? Is it Belichick? Just is incredible. And even the next 2 years, you know, came so close and should have beaten the Rams in that game that he came back and, you know, tied it up in the final seconds only to see the Rams go down the field and kick a game-winning field goal. Or he might have ended up at minimum in the championship game for that and maybe another Super Bowl. So, yeah, and then the retiring, unretiring. But I'll tell you what, man, Tom still looks good. He looks great. And he's not going to stop being in our consciousness. Like, he will force his way. Whether it's a Netflix special or just what he's about to do on Fox and all the other things that he's involved with, he is always going to make himself relevant, I think, even post-football. And it's really something to watch. He's a, you know, a master at sort of, you know, getting the right kind of media that he can generate around himself. And I don't know whose idea this was to roast him. I don't know, you know, exactly who benefits from it, except some of the charities of the people that were there. But like, it was genius. And to have those people show up, you see the kind of respect that he has around the league and, you know, certainly from his teammates, which we knew in the first place. So pretty good stuff. All right. Also good stuff this weekend with the Tampa Bay Rays, as we mentioned. So I went to the game with my son, who was in town on Friday night. It was the first game of the series against the Mets, and they broke out the new uniforms, obviously, which the only thing, like, even in person, you couldn't read their numbers. Not that that's that big of a deal, because I know who the players are. But if you didn't, you couldn't read the numbers in person. And what was so unusual about it is, you know, the Mets come out and they right away, they hang a 3 spot, you know, on the board. You get that kind of a, you know, deficit coming off the road trip they had, the 1-4 road trip. You're down 3 runs at home, and you're thinking, here they go. You know, this is going to be tough. They haven't, I don't think they've scored more than a run an inning in, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 games. And I'll be darned if they didn't come back, tie it up with 3 of their own, and then went on to win fairly comfortably. Scores a little closer than the game was, but like, I think it was 10-7, if memory serves, or thereabouts. And
10-8.
Season high. I'm sorry?
10-8.
10-8. Okay. Season high. That's right, because they gave up a run in the ninth. Season high runs. And welcome back And I mean for the whole series, as it turns out, at least two of the biggest home runs he's hit so far this year, Randy Arozarena. And what was interesting about it is you could feel, you know, the energy in the building about him. First of all, there were probably 40% Mets fans on the night that I went on Friday night. I mean, it was the building, there's almost 20,000 in-house, but a huge portion of Mets fans were there. But nonetheless, it was, you know, it was Randy's night, right? Friday nights, you have everybody out in left field, right?
Randyland.
And Randyland. And so they gave him a standing ovation. There had been talked about that on the radio. You know, maybe we should get behind this guy. And you could feel energy. And if Randy Arozarena is about anything, it's energy, right? He brings it and he responds to it. And first time up, he kind of let a ball get deep, which was nice. And he walloped it to right field. Now, it was caught on the warning track, but it was a good at-bat because, you know, he made good contact and he let the ball travel and it was a strike. So you're like, okay, well, you just kind of felt like, And then I think he may have walked or something, but then he got up in a key situation and he blasted. I think they said it was the longest home run he's hit at home in his career.
Yeah, 445 feet.
Yeah, just a missile. I mean, an absolute rocket. And, you know, as soon as he hit it, the place just kind of erupted, right? You got the lights going on, and he didn't over-dramatize the home run try. He didn't stop at third for very long. And just kind of matter-of-factly, you know, went back into the dugout. But that was a start. And the other part was seeing Yandy Diaz come alive. You know, Yandy had a couple multiple hit games in this series. Big hits, scored some runs. That those two guys are really the key, right? And then, of course, on Sunday, it was unfortunate for them because Ryan Pepiot, I thought, was throwing the ball really well. He took a 107-mile-an-hour line drive off his calf, and he had to leave the game. The x-rays were negative, but he's got, you know, a contusion on that thing, so who knows how long that bruise will take to heal. In the meantime, they spackled it together pretty well with their bullpen, but they had to come from behind again, not just in extras, but to tie the game. And it, once again, it was Randy Arozarena. What do you have, two strikes on him when he hit that ball out?
Two strikes, two outs, bottom of the ninth, down a run against Diaz.
I mean, yeah, and the guy was dealing, and sure enough, man, he got into one and hit it in about the second or third row. But talk about big at-bats, you know, at key moments. That was him the whole weekend, as was, and this happens too, right? Like, your team comes off a road trip. They're kind of lifeless. They lost. They got swept by the White Sox, which was the worst team in baseball. Lost two out of three the next series. And then you come home, and they make a couple of roster moves, maybe not the one people were calling for. But I'll tell you what, this guy coming up, Johnny DeLuca, had a nice, nice series for himself. And you know, when you think about how the Rays lineup has sort of struggled just to get somebody in there that moves the baseball the way DeLuca did over the weekend, he had a good night on Friday night, and then of course he had the walk off triple, you know, to drive in a couple runs to help the Rays win on Sunday, which was extremely dramatic and exciting, and so, you know, here they are, they've won three in a row. They had their first sweep in I don't know how long, the last time that this team swept a series. But they're 17 and 18. They got the White Sox coming in. They owe those guys. And the question is, would you ever consider taking those uniforms off until or unless you lose? I might keep them on until I lost a series. Forget about a game.
They might need to sleep in them.
Really? I'm serious. I mean, this is when you say they look like a different ball club, but they really do look like a different ball club because they're not wearing anything that they've ever worn before. And for, you know, for whatever reason, man, it's absolutely working. So what the heck? I mean, ride it as long as you can. It's been, it was a great series for them. And look, it's not like the Mets, you know, are the best team in baseball. They're not, you know, and they left a lot of runners on base. They were their own worst enemy. I guess you give some credit to the Rays bullpen in that sense too, but just to get sort of get things rolling, right? And it should. And this is a long homestand. It's a 9-game homestand. You got the Yankees coming in after the White Sox. So
Well, that's the key, though. Like, now you got the White Sox coming in. You can't just go get swept again by them.
No.
Like, if you don't take 2 out of 3 against the White Sox, you're really disappointed.
That's correct.
I mean, you're looking for the sweep, but take some meatloaf if you need to.
Yeah, meatloaf them for sure. And speaking of that term, and Joe Maddon, if you will, how about Kevin Cash? And it's stunning when you take a step back and think about it on a lot of levels. Kevin Cash over the weekend, and particularly, I guess on Saturday it would have been, he passed Joe Maddon for the most wins in franchise history, which is like 756 he has now. And first of all, it's a lot of damn wins. Okay. It's a lot of wins, man. But to think that you would follow up somebody who is as successful and entertaining and turned around a franchise like Joe Maddon and find a guy that probably will, you know, he'll have to win a World Series to equal Joe, and Joe did that with the Cubs. But right now is at least his peer, if not starting to exceed that. I mean, he's a 2-time manager of the year in back-to-back, as a matter of fact. And he's still a young guy. But I think somebody said this over the weekend, and I would credit them, I can't remember who, but it resonated with me, is somebody said, and of course this seems obvious, but when you take a step back, Kevin Cash is now one of those guys, right? Like, when you talk about, you know, spit out the best names in baseball, the best managers in baseball, he's right there at the top. Like, you know, and that's pretty heady space in Major League Baseball to be that successful, to still be this young, and to have already, you know, attained the most wins in franchise history when you followed a guy that had so much success before you. So I think what he does is next level stuff. And look, it's not like this is not the 27 Yankees he's putting out there every day. It's just not. He's always done more with less than almost everybody else has. You look at that Mets team, and they got some freaking superstars over there, right? They got some really highly paid players. And, you know, you went out there and beat them with Johnny DeLuca, you know? And so I don't know. I think whatever plaudits come Cash's way are so well deserved, and that was part of the weekend, which made it special to me.
No question about it. I mean, and when you talk about it, you know, we're lucky in this town that we have two managers or coaches, depending on whatever the sport is, most longevity in their sport with one
in their
team.
Sport. Yeah,
Kevin Cash and John Cooper, and Kevin Cash has won Manager of the Year twice, which is still amazing. John Cooper's never won it.
It is, but John Cooper right now is a Hall of Fame coach.
No question.
Kevin Cash, if he wins a World Series, and I don't know what the litmus test is for baseball, really. I would imagine you probably better winning one than not. That's the way it usually goes in football. But if he is lucky enough or has things fall his way, and again, he's still a very young guy, and he wins a World Series, you know, just or two, he's going to be in Cooperstown as well. I think that highly of him. And
well, he's definitely young enough where he's got plenty of leeway.
Oh yes. If he wants to manage until he's 70, at least, you know, I mean, he can, you know, guys manage a long time now, and he'll get his chances because of what he's accomplished already. So he's on that glide path, right? Where kind of Cooper was before they started winning Stanley Cups. And now, like I said, Cooper's a bona fide Hall of Fame coach. There's no question about that. And so, I mean, we are lucky. We are lucky in Tampa Bay to, you know, to have, you know, the continuity. And I've always said, you know, to me, continuity wins. Now, you got to have, you know, it's not just continuity for continuity's sake. You got to have the right people. Mm-hmm. But when you do, if you can keep them together, you know, especially in the coaching and in football coach, quarterback, whatever. But there's been continuity of players with the Lightning, continuity of the front office, right? And certainly when you have a John Cooper and a Kevin Cash, that's special, you know. And So in football, I think for the Bucs, it's been more about the front office continuity and the coaching staff as well, because Bruce Arians left a lot of coaches.
Exactly. I mean, it was kind of I wouldn't say seamless transition, but
yeah, but
you know, you didn't have to start over.
No, when Arians there left. Was continuity when you hand off your job to one of your staff members like a Todd Bowles, and he retains the majority. Now, there's been changes on the offensive staff since then, certainly, but that still was the program, and those are still your guys. So, you know, that's kind of what we have going for Tampa Bay teams right now. You know, in many cases, they're similar. You know, if you're talking about the Lightning or the Bucks anyway, in terms of, you know, a lot of legacy players, world champions, guys entering the later times of their careers, and what are you going to do about these superstars like Mike Evans and Steven Stamkos? So there's some parallels there. But with the Rays, it's just, no, they're pretty much new every year, you know. And you've got Yandy and you've got Arandy, and you don't know where Wander Franco is. And then you have a bunch of new guys coming in, and I'll be darned if they don't all go out there and just seem to kind of work. You know, it just all seems to work, whatever they're able to do.
Well, and it's, you know, Johnny DeLuca came back, and he was supposed to make the opening day roster, but got
yes, hurt. Yes.
Josh Lowe was pulled out of the game in Durham midway through the game Sunday and packed up his bags and gave hugs to everybody, which basically means he's on his way back to Tampa. So he's going to be back now. Jonathan Aranda's making his way back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so now you're starting to get those pieces back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one of the issues they've had is they don't have any left-handed bats.
No.
And, you know, and guys are playing at times when normally they wouldn't, and they're playing more. And, you know, one of the keys to the Rays' success has always been playing guys in situations that they're set up to succeed in. You know, Brendan Lau doesn't hit left-handed pitching very well. He doesn't play many left-handers. They play somebody else. And this guy doesn't do this or doesn't face, you know, pitchers with soft stuff very well, so that we don't play them when we have pitchers with, like, they put them in those positions. But when you have as many injuries as they've had, guys now have to play positions they're not as successful in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've seen a lot at the beginning of the season. Now, that doesn't mean that's why Randy and Yandy haven't been as successful, and it seems like they're starting to come out of this. You know, Yandy's at bats are much better. Randy's now connecting on the ball and hitting some long
balls. He's hitting some long balls, which is nice to see.
And Friday night even. So he you know, the first at bat got out, then he hits the home run, but he took three walks.
Yes.
Which
that's
is good
key.
Too.
Mm-hmm. That's huge. I'm telling you, anytime you play this game, and I played it a long time, the first thing you want to do, because it feels like when you're pressing and you're not hitting, you'll see guys get up there, and every count is 0-2. I don't know how it happens, why it happens. Sometimes you swing at a pitch out of the
zone.
That's
what happened Saturday night to him, because every count was 0-2 Saturday
night. Sometimes you freeze up and don't swing at strikes. It's just the way it is, right? 1-2, 0-2, you're behind the whole time. But if you can force yourself, and it does take some talking and convincing when you're not going well, but if you can force yourself to try to see a lot of pitches. You know, it's not so much that you have to walk or whatever, but the goal should be, hey, let me see the ball, right? Let me see a lot of pitches, whether it's a breaking pitch and you know, the guy's got four-seam fastball or a cutter. If I can see pitches, right, and if I can draw walks, it's even better, obviously, because now I'm helping my team. But it just, I don't know, it sort of slows things down for you. Right. Because things are happening really quick when you're not going well. You're pressing. You're not organizing the strike zone. But when I start to see guys that are in a slump and they start walking and there's some close pitches they take, that's how I know they're coming out. That's the first sign is, hey, the guy's organizing his strike zone. He's swinging at good pitches. He's taking, you know, the ones that he can't handle and that are out of the zone. And before long, you're going to start to see, you know, good contact. And Randy didn't, it wasn't like, you know, he was on fire for all three games, but, you know, he hit the ball hard enough. And of course, the two long home runs were huge in helping them win those games, none bigger than the one on Sunday, you know, to tie it and extend the game. So he's showing some life. And not for nothing, but like the guy's an entertainer, you know, and I give him credit for not, you know, with as bad as it's been, for not sticking his head between his legs and just, you know, sort of being woe is me, Randy. Quite the opposite. The engagement you see, and I was down there just over the Rays dugout a little bit for the game Friday, but the engagement that he has with Rays fans, of course, Randy Land we know about, but all the whole game he's throwing baseballs into the stands. Before the game, he signed some autographs. I mean, right before. Like, this dude is liked, if not beloved, by a lot of the Rays fans, and yet the feeling is mutual. Like, he, you know, he gives that smile back to you. And that's the thing, right? The connection that fans have with players and with their superstars. And even though, you know, he came into the series batting about .137, he was still up there, you know, digging his way out and actually produced some mammoth moments again, you know, for the Rays in helping them sweep this series. So I think he felt the energy. I think he kind of feels that love. He kind of thrives on that, you know, sort of anticipation that he's going to do something great. And then he goes and does it. And that's kind of what this weekend was about. It was sort of like, you know, proving to him and the Rays fans, and the Rays fans accepting the fact that, yeah, you know, we're still with you. You know, we still think you're the same special player. You had a bad month, but we're going to stay with you. Let's go. And so that was neat. You had to, I can't describe it very well, but there was an energy in that building around him, in particular during his at bats and of course the home runs, that was electric. It was just really great.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Couple stories from the weekend. In case you guys missed it, check it out on TampaBay.com and in the Tampa Bay Times on the Buccaneers that I was writing over the weekend. I think we mentioned a little bit of this on Friday, a feature on Brad Culpepper's son, Judge, who is now an undrafted free agent with Tampa Bay that will start rookie minicamp this week. Begins on Thursday. We'll be out there today. I'll be out there at 10:30 this morning to talk to the Bucs offensive assistants and their special teams coach. Remember, we did the defensive assistants last week. And but you know, Judge Culpepper, I mean, it's, you know, he's got a really good shot to make this ball club. You have to read the story. But when I look at that position, defensive tackle, and he can play defensive end in a 3-4, he was, you know, very productive, especially his last 2 years at Toledo. He transferred to Penn State. A bigger than Brad was. I mean, the guy's about 290 pounds, 6'4", and with quickness. He had 9 sacks at Toledo from that defensive tackle position his last season there. Was unfortunate. I guess he wasn't able to play in the conference championship. I think he had a targeting call early in the game that he couldn't play in their bowl game. But just a great kid, and what a successful family. I mean, Brad and Monica have done an unbelievable job with all their kids. And, of course, Rex, you remember, played quarterback at Syracuse. He's now come out of law school, passed the bar. I think he's going to go work for his dad at Culpepper Curlin. Their sister, Honor, is in her final year at NYU. She's a point guard. She plays basketball there. She's going to go to law school, I believe. So just an incredibly successful family. But that was a fun story to write. And then, you know, we talked a lot about the Bucs secondary when we talked to the defensive coaches last week, especially a guy like Kevin Ross, who doesn't say a lot. We did talk to him and just how he loves this secondary and loves what he calls heat-seeking missiles that they have back there, mostly Jordan Whitehead, a big part of that. So those stories are there along with a slimmed down Vita Vea. Check them out, Tampa Bay Times and on TampaBay.com. I'll be out with the coaches. The Rays begin a series against the Chicago White Sox, see if they can avenge that 3-game sweep they suffered up there in Chicago in this last road trip. And then it's the Yankees coming to town. So that'll be something to watch. So We're going to have an interesting week again this week with the rookie minicamp starting on Thursday. So thanks for listening. For Steve Burstick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.